Well, good morning, everyone, and I want to say a special good morning as well to everybody in our gathering services and those on our East York campus. I trust that today we will be ministered to by God's Word and God's Spirit. Well, recently, my wife and I spent some time in New York City, and it seemed that everywhere there in that place are skyscrapers under construction. These huge cranes all over the place lifting pieces of the building and setting it into place. And of course, when they build a skyscraper, it takes a long time just to build the foundation of a skyscraper. In fact, it takes so long that sometimes, you know, when you're walking by, you see the foundation being built for months and months and months at a time, and you think to yourself, what's the holdup there? And of course, the reason is that the bigger the skyscraper, the higher the skyscraper goes, the deeper and more solid the foundation needs to be. What is true of skyscrapers is also true of Christ's followers. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that each of us should be men and women who build with care on the foundation that we have of Jesus Christ. And so once we come to know Jesus, the Lord allows us to begin to lay that foundation. But sometimes, of course, we lay a foundation in Christ, but for whatever reason, we stop building upon it. You know, we may serve the Lord, we may raise good kids, we may be involved in the church and sing in the choir and on the worship team or whatever, but for whatever reason, we never really grow beyond the foundation part of the Christian life. We never really grow beyond the ABCs of the Christian life. And I believe that today, in the passage that we have in front of us, God really wants to challenge us about that very thing. And so on these Sunday mornings, we are in this series that we're calling Frequently Avoided Questions. And one of the things I did was kind of ask you for some input, and I have a file in my office about this thick with all the papers and all the questions and requests and things. I won't get to all of them, sadly. But today we're going to be dealing with a question that was asked more than any other question, that was requested more than any other question, and that is this: is my relationship with God something that I can lose? And specifically, here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, and you can turn there if you want a while, does Hebrews chapter 6 teach that somebody can lose their relationship with God? Now, that's a great question. I know that many of us have struggled and wrestled with that down through the years. Some of us here today wrestling with that as well. And we picked a very interesting passage, or you picked a very interesting passage to have me speak about. Make no mistake, Hebrews chapter 6, if you read ahead of time, you know this is a very difficult passage to interpret. In fact, there's a number of commentators down through the years who kind of spoke about that. Ray Stedman says this is the naughtiest passage in the Bible. The naughty, that's such a word that I haven't heard for a long time, the naughtiest passage in the Bible. Barclay says, one of the most terrible passages of Scripture. Wow. And of course, Vincent said, the number and variety of explanations is bewildering. And we're going to solve this, by the way, in the next 30 minutes, just FYI. We'll do our best, at least, to do that. But let me ask you, what do you believe about Hebrews chapter 6? Certainly you've read it down through the years and you've wondered about it. Do you believe, are you somebody who believes that you can fall so far away from God, that you can walk so far away from God that you actually lose your relationship with God? Wow. Let's explore that here this morning and trust the Lord to do a great work in our hearts. Let's pray just and ask God's Holy Spirit to minister to us today. Father, I want to thank you today for the privilege of preaching and teaching and hearing your word today. And I pray, Lord, that this passage would come alive in our services today. That as we read it and as we think about it, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to everything that you have and everything you want to say to us through this phenomenal passage of Scripture. Speak deeply to our hearts today, I pray. In Christ's great name, amen. Let's begin, first of all, today in the fifth chapter of Hebrews and the 11th verse there, and we'll talk about a few things. The first thing we want to talk about here as we begin to unfold this subject in your notes there today is a warning. The first thing that we see in this text, I believe, is a warning about what I want to call spiritual lethargy. A warning about spiritual lethargy. And so you have your Bible there. If Hebrews chapter 5, we'll begin and pick it up here at the 11th verse of the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand." That's a huge line in this text. "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature." Another big line in there. "Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil." And so, if we're going to understand what Hebrews chapter 6 says, I do believe we have to begin in the context there of Hebrews chapter 5. And the context is this idea of spiritual lethargy. And I want to define spiritual lethargy this way. It's a lack, simply a lack of passion to understand and grow in our faith. And some of us have this disease, by the way. We're not really training ourselves to grow in Christ. We're not taking time to understand the Word of God. We're not allowing God's truth to go deep in our hearts. Let me also say today, you ought to get this down, that spiritual lethargy is a degenerative disease. I believe it's kind of clear in this text here that if you don't grow in your faith, you're going to shrink in your faith. That's a huge idea here. And here in this passage, the text is giving us what I want to call four realities of the spiritually lethargic. And see if this is something that maybe has crept into your life here. In your notes, number one, we no longer try. Paul says there, you know what? I wish I could say some things to you, but I can't really say them because you're not really trying to grow in your faith. Wow. The second thing he says is you're not advancing. He said we need to be men and women who are moving forward. That's a big line there in these verses, the importance of moving forward. Number three, he also says that they are resistant to responsibility. Paul says by this time in your life as a Christ follower, you ought to be teaching other people. You know, I'd like to say that to a lot of people this morning. You know what? You've walked with God so long, you ought to be somebody who is actually teaching, but you're shrinking back from that. You're resisting that responsibility, Paul says. And then fourthly, he says, this person is not learning how to handle the Word of God. Verse 14 is a big, big line there. And so I also have this next line in your notes, and I really want to encourage you to get this down. The defining characteristic of someone who was caught in spiritual lethargy is their inability to feed themselves. You see, your ability to get something out of the Word of God should not just be Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. It's not just my responsibility to do that for you or anybody else who preaches or teaches. We are men and women who follow Christ, and we should be learning how to apply the Word of God to our lives. We should be studying the Word of God. We should be contemplating and thinking about the Word of God. But Paul is saying here that this group of people need to be spoon-fed all the time, and it's not a healthy thing here. And he says, as a result of it, we find it hard to distinguish between good and evil. And so, if you can imagine this picture here today, a room full of adults sitting in high chairs, sucking on baby bottles, eating out of Gerber baby food, you kind of have a pick of what's going on here today. And I want to underscore something there for us in verse 11. I want you to look back there again at verse 11. I want you to see what Paul says as he begins this. He says, we have much to say about this. In other words, this is a dangerous condition. The gospel, of course, is wonderful information, church, but there is so much more than the gospel. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, we love the gospel, we appreciate the gospel, we go back to the gospel, but truth of the matter is, there is so much more in the Christian life. And so, I like what Dale Marshfield says as I studied his Hebrew notes this past week. He says that when we don't grow, we lose out because we do not comprehend the truths that'll be the greatest help to us. And so Paul was writing, huge to get this context, Paul is writing to a group of Christians who are going through terrible trials in their lives. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you'll see some. They were thrown out of their homes. They were living in the mountains. They were living in holes. They'd been kicked out of their cities. They'd lost their jobs. But some of these people were too lazy to eat the spiritual food that would sustain them and to help them persevere. And so as we begin to explore this idea, the first thing we need to see here is that it is written in the context of Paul encouraging men and women to get out of spiritual lethargy and to grow in their faith. And that's the second thing that I want us to see today, beginning in the sixth chapter in verse 1. Paul not only gives us a warning, but secondly, he gives us some counsel. And the counsel is this: get moving. Get moving in your Christian life and move on from the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pick the story up here in Hebrews 6, beginning at verse 1. He says, therefore, and so in light of this counsel about spiritual lethargy, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward. Two big lines there. Move beyond. Go forward to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. The counsel to get moving. Now, this is the tough passage here. And it's tough, not just because the grammar is a little clumsy, if you will, but also there's a lot of disagreement about whom the writer is talking. Is he talking about, in chapter 6, Christ's followers who kind of need a good swift kick in the pants to get moving? Or is he referring to those who have not yet put their faith in Jesus and they need the same swift kick in the pants to put their faith in Jesus? The answer to that question is yes. Yes. I think that actually, the passage applies to both people, but I actually believe that specifically Paul is writing here to people who already follow Jesus. That's a big thing for us to think about. And the big idea is this. I have it in your notes. You really need to think about this and get this down. You don't keep laying foundations over and over again. That's a huge idea in this passage. God does amazing things when he brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. But he only does them once. Are you with me here, church? When God brings somebody to faith in Jesus Christ, that is an amazing work that God only does once. You don't get saved over and over again. You don't lay a foundation over and over and over again. That's a big point here, church. If you get that line, you're going to get what he's saying in the rest of the passage. You don't lay foundations over and over again. You build on foundations. And you grow into what God wants you to be. And that's the tech. That's what he's saying here in these first three verses. And he tells us that we should be moving forward. We should be moving away from a number of things. I have it in your notes there. The first one is this. He says we should be moving away from repentance and faith. He talks there about Repentance from acts that lead to death. What is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the thinking that you can work your way to God. We have to move away from that. We get saved by understanding that, but eventually we move away from that. And so we move away from a faith that initially embraces Jesus Christ. We have that faith, we grow in that faith, but we only come to faith in Jesus Christ one time. Secondly, Paul says we also should be moving away from baptism and blessings. He talks there in verse 2 about cleansing rites. That's the Greek word baptismos, from which we get our word baptism. Now remember, Paul was writing to Jewish people, and they were using their understanding of Old Testament teachings on washings as a starting point to explain baptism to new converts. That's why that comes up there in that passage. Paul says that you only get baptized once. You got to move away from that. Laying on of hands, that was something they did in the first century to confer blessing and inclusion upon someone as they came, as it were, into the family of God. You only have that happen once, Paul says. And then thirdly, he says we should be moving away from just a rudimentary understanding of resurrection and judgment. And so obviously we understand as we grow in Christ that one day we're going to be resurrected to stand in front of God. But Paul says that this is something that is an initial thing that we come to understand. And it helps us realize that we need to come into a relationship with God. And Paul says some of those understandings we move away from. And then I like what he says there in verse 3. He says, and God permitting, we will do so. Does that shock you? Does it shock you that sometimes God might not permit maturity in our lives? That line ought to just cause all of us to just kind of stop for a second and be maybe a little dope slapped upside the head. Does it surprise you that maybe God gets frustrated with us in our lack of really following him? Does it ever surprise you that maybe one of the things that could be going on in your life is that right now God is not allowing you to move forward because you're not really serious about where you are with him? Wow. We believe as a congregation that we should be men and women who go from where we are to where God wants us to be. And so let me encourage you to do that. Let me remind you that we have these amazing Next Steps ministries in our church. Baptism, Getting Started class, Starting Point and Starting Blocks, and small groups, and Celebrate Recovery. And they are designed so that you and I can keep walking forward, keep taking the steps that God has for us. What is the next step that God has for you? Do you know where God wants you to go next in your Christian life? Huge, huge. Number one, the warning about spiritual lethargy. Number two, here the encouragement, the counsel to keep moving forward. And then thirdly today, this is what you've all been waiting for, the warning about falling away. And here's what Paul says, beginning at verse 4 in our text that has just been so difficult at times to understand. He says, it is impossible. Now, if you have a Bible in front of you, you should underline those three words. It is impossible. For those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away. Now you ought to underline these words: to be brought back to repentance. It is impossible for certain people to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Thirdly, the warning about falling away. What's he talking about here? Now, These are the verses that I believe help us understand that in this passage, the writer is talking to Christ's followers. See, I think that if you think that he's writing to non-believers, it's going to mess up how you interpret this passage. So he's writing to Christ's followers. Why? Well, look at how they're described there. They've been enlightened. They've tasted the heavenly gift. So they've received Christ. They've shared in the Holy Spirit. Church, only the Christian has this possibility. They've tasted the goodness of the Word of God. Non-believers do not find the Word of God good. They've tasted the powers of the coming age. My friends, who but the true believer in Jesus Christ is somebody who knows the power of God to change a life? And so we're talking here about real Christ followers. But there's a warning here, church. These same people who have been enlightened and tasted and shared, look at what it says there, they can also fall away. Fall away. Now, what does it mean to fall away? What's he talking about? That's a huge line, a huge word here in this text. What does it mean to fall away? Well, Paul uses a similar word from the same root word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, right? Where he says that as Christ followers, we should take heed because he says we can actually fall away. Don't fall. What does it mean to fall away? And I have it in your notes because I really want to help you get this. Number one, we're not talking about a permanent falling, but a stumbling. A stumbling. Why do I say that? Well, I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 11 and verse 11. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is talking here to the Romans, and he's talking in Romans chapter 11 about Israel's rejection of Jesus Christ. I mean, if there is any cause for something to be falling away, certainly was that it would be this. And so here Paul is talking about God's covenant with Israel, all right? Even though they have rejected Jesus as their Savior. Look what Paul says there in Romans chapter 11 and verse 11. He asks this question. He says, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Church, what's the answer? Not at all. Not at all. Now, what's he talking about there? He is talking there about this idea here that Israel somehow has fallen away from God without repair. And that word there, stumble as to fall, again, the same word that Paul uses here in Hebrews chapter 6. And here in Romans chapter 11, he's talking, of course, that when the Jewish people turned away from the gospel, Paul is saying here, it didn't mean that the end of their existence as the covenant people of God, they stumbled for sure, they didn't fall to their destruction, they are still men and women who are loved by God. And of course we know as we read to the end of Romans chapter 11, we know that God still has a covenant plan for his people. And so Paul uses that same word here in Hebrews chapter 6. We understand that he's not talking about a permanent falling away, but a stumbling. We've all watched marathon runners, right? At the end of the race, and they've raced hard, and they're completely depleted of energy, and they fall, and they stumble, and they need somebody to come along and pick them up and get them moving again. That's the idea that Paul has given us here. Secondly, in your notes, we don't come back by getting saved again. It's huge, church. Paul says there in Hebrews 6, verses 4, and then you pop down to verse 6 there where it's the thought is completed. He says it's impossible to bring these people back to repentance. Back to repentance. So at one time they had truly repented. They had turned to God. But now they've stumbled. They're not out of the family. They need to get back into fellowship with God, but you don't do it by getting saved again, church. Are you with me here? It's impossible to bring them back to repentance, Paul said. In other words, you don't lay that foundation again. That foundation's already been laid. You've got to come back into fellowship with God. And so the point here is that people don't go in and out of God's family. You're still in the family. You've just stumbled. You've just fallen. So that's a huge line there for us to really, I think, understand. Now, here's why this is important to interpret this as Paul writing to a Christ follower. If you are interpreting this, that the falling away is losing your salvation, then you have to be consistent with the text and then say that if you lose your salvation, you can't ever be saved again. Are you seeing that, church? Right? That would be the natural way to think about that. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about a Christ follower who has stumbled, and he's saying, look, that person needs to come back into fellowship with God, not relationship. That foundation's already been laid. Number three, Paul says, apart from the powerful work of God, we don't come back. That's huge. Look at the end of verse 6. Paul says there that when we stumble like this, we crucify the Son of God all over again and subject him to public disgrace. So when I'm a Christ follower and I decide that I'm going to walk away from Jesus, what I'm saying is that Jesus wasn't who he said he was. Jesus wasn't everything that Scripture said. Jesus wasn't good enough for the needs of my life. We crucify Jesus all over again, and we subject him to public disgrace. To me, this is the real peril of this passage. And Paul is saying to us that apart from the work of God, this person doesn't come back. You need to get this down, church. We can actually get to the place where we resist the Spirit of God so much that it becomes possible to arrive at a state where we can no longer repent. Wow. It's huge. Apart from a powerful work of God, we don't come back. And number four, Paul says here that when we walk away, when we stumble, when we fall, it always costs us dearly. It always costs us dearly. A lot of times when we try to understand these verses, we don't continue to read. And so look at what it says there in the seventh verse. It actually helps us understand once again that we're talking about Christ followers who have stumbled in their walk with God. He says this, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed, and in the end it will be burned. Now, my wife and I live in the county of Spring Grove. Yes, we are our own county out there. And we have farm all around us. And I have a really interesting picture here of what is at the end of our driveway. Anybody know what that is? That is an amazing pile of manure. And it is right at the end of our driveway. And my wife and I cannot wait for them to spread it so that it can fill our nostrils with its amazing smell. The author is closing here with an understanding of farmland. Those of us who live in York County, we should know that. And he's talking here about two pieces of farmland there in verses 7 and 8. And they're all fertilized the same. They both receive the same amount of rain, but one produces this amazing crop that's blessed of God, and the other produces thorns and thistles, and it's worthless and burned. And Paul is talking about our lives there, church. He's saying this is the potential of our lives, that sometimes we can walk so far from God that we never really come back into fellowship with him. And we exhaust his patience. And we lose so much, church. Look at verse 7. We lose the potential of a productive life. We lose, verse 8, we lose our rewards. We're going to stand in front of God one day, and our rewards are going to be burned up. And so we lose so much but not a relationship with God. There's no evidence of that in this text at all. We lose out on the blessing of God. It's a terrible way to live. Back when one of our sons was in, I think, like third grade or so, he went to his teacher one day and he wanted some help. And she had just kind of ended that period. And so she said to him, "Let's just talk about this tomorrow." But my son, sadly being a reedy, was insistent. And he went back to, he said, "I want you to help me now." And she said, "Look, we will talk about this tomorrow." To which he said to her, "Do you know Mr. Bethel?" She goes, "Yes." He goes, "Well, do you know that I know Mr. Bethel?" Mr. Bethel was a good friend of our family. He was also the superintendent of schools in that place. And so my son was definitely pulling rank on that. Let me ask it today, church. Do you know who your daddy is? Do you know who your father is? Church, he's the great big God of the universe. And listen to me this morning. He's not going to let you go. Now listen, he's not going to passively sit by while you walk away from him either. But he's never going to let you go. The scripture says that you might be faithless, but God will always remain faithful. And this great God of ours doesn't want us to presume upon his grace. He wants us to walk with him and grow and have his word shape our souls. That's why he closes in verse 9. Let's read these verses again here today. He says this, "Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He's not going to forget your work and the love that you've shown him." So he's talking to Christ's followers. "As you've helped his people and continue to help them, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Church, it's so easy to go through the motions, isn't it? Those of us who've walked with God for a long time, it's so easy to take this book for granted in our lives. It's so easy to just kind of ho-hum read the Bible and ho-hum come to worship and ho-hum serve him. It's so easy to just kind of take all that stuff for granted when in fact God has better things for you and better things for me. Not running to inappropriate things or running toward willful sin or wandering in our walk with him, but living out, glory to God, living out this amazing calling that God has placed within all of our hearts. Wow. Does Hebrews 6 teach that you can lose your relationship with God? No. Can you lose your relationship with God? Well, you can stumble. You can walk away. You can experience the pain of losing your intimacy with him. You can lose the blessing of God on your life. You can lose your fellowship with God. But you can't ever lose your relationship, because even if you and I are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Faithful. And for that, I love him, because I haven't always been faithful to him. And he's kept me. Even when I've run from him, he's kept me. For that, I love him, and I want to serve him for the rest of my days. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow together.